Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
I want to begin by telling you that God created every person to depend upon Him. So I want you to repeat after me, God created everyone in the world to depend upon Him first and others second. Okay. In Psalm 123 and 2, it says, as the eyes of the slaves look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maids look to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes look to you, Lord, our God. Now, the significance of this scripture is the fact that a slave has no possessions. See, a slave has no food. A slave has no shelter, no place to live. A slave has no transportation, no way to get to where they need to go. See, the scripture here is saying that we should be totally dependent upon God, not others. And this is the point we need to understand where God is coming from. We are to serve the Lord and we are to depend upon Him and not other people. Now, God will put people in your life just to help you if you're really in need temporarily or whatever. That's the hand of God. But when you go into a long-term situation receiving their help, you're moving into a codependent situation which is not of God. And you need to understand that. See, people are to see God as their source. Yes, help people for a little while, but never let them get to the point where they're not looking to God and they're looking to you. Because that's when you begin to get into this codependent thing that God doesn't want anything to do with. In Matthew 5 and 45, it says, be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to shine on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Which means that God is for everybody. God loves everybody. We have to get out of this idea that we've got to take care of people. No, we have to ask God, Lord, how can I help this person? How do you want me to help this person? What do you want me to do? See, because that person belongs to God and not to you. Now, understand me. I'm not saying that we don't help people. I'm just saying they're not your people. They're God's people. Ask God, what's the best way to help this person? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 19, it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and length of days. Now, please, people, hear me what I'm saying. I'm not just reading scriptures to you. I am giving you God's philosophy on relationships and helping other people. He says, I am their life. And that if they cling to me, if they look to me, and they obey me, I'll take care of them. So too many times we take care of people God is not taking care of. Or He's taking care of them the way He wants to take care of them. And we interfere. And they know they should be repenting. And they know their lives should change. And they know they should be seeking God. They really know what the deal is. Now we have interrupted the deal by stepping in and enabling them. When God says, I'm their God. God says, listen, if they obey me, if they listen to my voice, if they'll cling to me, you see, I'm their life. I'm the one who gives them length of days, not you. Where the Bible says He is your life, it means that God is your provider. The Hebrew word literally means maintenance. God is your life. He's the one who maintains you. God is not the one who just maintains you. He maintains everybody. So please understand that God must be God in every person's life. And you must never take his place in an individual's life. Satan's plan is for people to disregard the Lord and to look to each other to have their needs met. This is how codependence is established, when people look to other people to have their needs met. Now, codependency or codependence is unhealthy love and a tendency to behave in an overly passive or excessively caretaking way that negatively impacts relationships and the quality of life. Now, let me explain what I mean. For example, a passive person finds it difficult to function independently of someone's assistance. It may be emotionally, it may be financially, it may be physically. Another individual, referred to as a caretaker, comes alongside of that individual to assist that person. So, person in need, person who can fulfill the need. If that is a short-term situation, praise the Lord, I gave you what you needed, sent you on your way, praise the Lord, God provided this for you. However, if it turns into a long-term relationship where the caretaker assumes responsibility for the needs and the success of the passive person, they are creating a codependent relationship. Now, I want to show you one example of a codependent relationship between a husband and a wife in the Old Testament. And I'm just going to kind of jump around, but you may want to write the scriptures down. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30. We're going to talk about Ahab and Jezebel. Have you ever heard of Ahab and Jezebel? I know you've heard of Jezebel. But that was a codependent relationship between a husband and a wife. It says in verse 30 of 1 Kings 16, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of the kings before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he began to serve Baal and to worship him. Well, Ahab, who was wicked, married an idol worshiper. Jezebel was a priestess of Baal. And she was a king's daughter as well, so she had a lot of influence. So Ahab, in turn, was influenced by his wife to also serve Baal. Now, he became the passive person in their relationship, and she became the caretaker person in that relationship. I'm going to give you some examples. In 1 Kings 18 and 19, the Bible tells us about Elijah. Now, what was happening during this time is Elijah had caused it to stop raining because the Lord told him to pray that it would stop raining, and it stopped raining 3.5 years. There's a big drought. And now God says, I want you to go and meet Ahab because there's got to be a showdown. You need to say to the people, if I'm God, serve me. If Baal is God, serve him. So Elijah found Ahab, and he asked him to do him a favor. He said, summon the people. This is verse 19 of 1 Kings 18. Summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So here, they're eating at Jezebel's table. She's providing for the prophets at her table. She's the caretaker. This is her character and the type of person she is. Now, you know the story, how it ends up. Elijah taunts the prophets of Baal. And then he asks God to light the altar, and the fire comes down from God, and the people, when they see God responding that way, they all turn back to God. Ahab runs home and tells Jezebel all the things that God had done. He was shocked. He was wild, but she wasn't excited. She was very angry. Once again, showing her influence on his life, showing that he went back to report to his wife everything that was done. All right? He became the passive person. She was the caretaker in the relationship. I want to show you more. In 1 Kings chapter 21, I want you to watch this interaction. It has to do with the vineyard that Ahab wanted and what happened. It says in 1 Kings 21 in verse 1, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, the king of Assyria. Ahab said to Naboth, now this is the king just talking to a man that lived next door, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden. Since it's so close to my palace, I'll give you another vineyard if you prefer, or I'll pay you. Whatever it's worth, I want to give this to you. But Naboth replied to the king, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. That always makes a king feel good. It didn't make Ahab feel good. But look at his response. Verse 4. So Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. So he lay on his bed sulking and he refused to eat. This is a king acting like a big baby. Why? Because now in his relationship, he became the passive person. His wife Jezebel came to him and said, why are you so sullen? And why aren't you eating? Come on, baby, get something to eat. Would you like a bottle? He answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard. Or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard. Or I said, I'll give you the money. But he said, you can't have it. So Jezebel, his wife, said, is that how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Be cheerful. Cheer up. I'll get that vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite for you. So you see, he has one role. She has another role.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Each of us have a prophetic destiny. The Bible says the Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by my name. Each of us was born to serve a divine purpose. God is the only one qualified to guide your life. He is the only one who knows the future. In Isaiah 46 and 9, it says, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens, and everything I plan will come to pass. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that is alive is worth the drive. Come discover how to discover your real purpose.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
So you see, he has one role, she has another role. In verse 8, it tells what she did. She wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed his seal upon them, and sent them to the elders and the nobles who lived in Naboth's city and said, proclaim a day of fast and seat Naboth in the preeminent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them testify that he cursed both God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters she had written them. Verse 15. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take the possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, the one he refused to sell you. He's no longer alive. He's dead." And when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up, went down, and took possession of the vineyard. Wow. That's pretty powerful. We're talking about codependency. We're talking about people who basically are passive and want to be taken care of, and those who want to take care of them. Let's go a little bit deeper in this subject, because codependency can occur in any type of relationship, including family members, co-workers, friendships, and also romantic relationships, where it happens an awful lot. Codependence describes behaviors, thoughts, and feelings that go beyond the normal kinds of self-sacrifice and caretaking. It often involves placing a lower priority on one's own needs while being excessively preoccupied with the needs of others. It's kind of where people say, get a life. Don't be so involved in someone else's life. What about your life? You need a life. But people who have a codependent tendency don't really have a life. Their life revolves around other people. Codependent people are constantly searching for acceptance. It's because of what they feel themselves. They feel insecure in themselves, and so they're always looking to receive acceptance. And when you help people, generally they're so grateful at first, and it really begins to make you feel like you're really needed. See, they constantly put others' needs before their own needs, and in doing so, sometimes they even forget to care for themselves. And this creates a sense of, I am so needed. Now, I know I have been out all day, I've done this, but I'm just going to go, and I've got to take her a cup of soup. She needs some ginger ale. I know I have worked 3 shifts, but I have got to go over and get him some medicine, some aspirin, and I have to open the cap and give it to him because he doesn't know how, the poor baby doesn't know how to open the cap. You know, it has one of those little, it has the arrow on it, and you have to turn it and line it up. They call that childproof. And so I have to do that. That's why I'm going over there. See, it creates a sense that they're needed, that they cannot stand the thought of being alone and not needed. So when they find someone who is needy, they gravitate to them. See, and the passive person doesn't care. They're just like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. This person really loves me. They're going to really help me. I don't know if you know any relationships like that. I'm just telling you it's toxic. And you need to be aware of that yourself. Now, if parents are not careful, they can easily develop this type of relationship with their children. It's a big danger of this parent. For example, parenting is a role that requires a certain amount of self-sacrifice and giving a child's needs a high priority. A parent could nevertheless still be codependent toward their own children if the caretaking of their parental sacrifices reaches an unhealthy or a destructive level. This is important to understand. Generally, a parent who takes care of their own needs emotionally and physically in a healthy way, though, will be a better caretaker than giving a child everything they want. So much so to the point of exhaustion, I'm going to get a second job because I got to get them those Nikes. I have got to take a third job because she's got to have those dresses that she wants. Everybody in the school has them. See, it's important, parents, that you still take time for each other, even though you have children. Because one of the most important things you need to understand with your children is that you are an example to them. So if you start doing things that really are beyond the scope of being a caretaker to your children of what is healthy, they're going to learn your unhealthy ways. You have to always maintain time for yourself to some degree. Find a friend. Find a relative. Find someone and say, I would like to bless you with my children this afternoon. If you can't receive the blessing, just based on the blessing alone, I'll pay you. I'll pay you big money. I will pay you a week's salary to watch whatever it, you've got to have time for yourselves. And young people, you have to understand that your mother and your father, they need their own space. That door is locked for a reason. The lock means don't come in. So when it's locked, don't think, oh, it's locked. Wow, mommy, you don't know the door is locked. And parents, don't get up from what you're doing to go and see what your children want. I'm talking about codependency. Because this is how some relationships really crack up and mess up in marriage. When one parent is overly sensitive to their children, more than they should be, it becomes unhealthy even between the husband and the wife. But aren't you so glad I'm moving past that right now? In Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. See, the part that we hold back from God, we're giving to somebody else. And it could be the wrong way. That's why God says, give me all of you. God is supposed to completely consume your life. And then he'll give you back the little pieces of love for other people. Some people say, oh, that person just gets a dribble because they're not supposed to be in your life. To that person, you just say, God bless you. And let them be on their way. And that person, yes, you will help that person for about one hot minute. But that's all they should get. See, God will actually direct you in your relationships when you put him first, when you make him the lover of your soul, when you say, Lord, I give you every part of me, then God will begin to tell you how to love others, how to enter into a relationship, and also how to establish proper boundaries.
Thank you once again for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is the final message in the Codependency series. This is part 6. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to the program once again today. I want to thank you for your dedication to the Lord and to his desire for all of us to draw closer to him. And I think especially now, so many people are seeking God as never before. I want to pray with you right now because I know that there are needs. But we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and for your grace for us all. We ask you, Father, to keep us safe. Your word says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of protection. We pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Keep us well and help us, Father. Thank you for helping us even in our financial difficulties. You are the God of hope.
And we look to you today, and we thank you for the answer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.